The Bible says that they are like chaff blown away by the wind. They are like chaff blown away by the wind. Let us pray that the Lord will keep us planted by the streams of his word. Yes, by the streams of his word. We'll be bearing fruit every time we are bearing fruit in the name of Jesus. Let's pray that as we are gathered here today, our hearts will be open to the Lord. Yes, our hearts, and the Lord will fill it with his word. Each one of us will receive the counsel of God like we have never received before. Back to back, we'll be hearing the word the Lord speak to us, addressing our matters. Today, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is going to reach out to us. He will speak to us in the language we understand. He will communicate the mind of God to us today. Let's pray. As Pastor mounts the pulpit, let him be an oracle of God. As he opens his mouth, let him speak that which the Holy Spirit will put into his mouth. The Holy Spirit will give him utterance in the name of Jesus. He will have utterance in the name of Jesus. He is blessed. He is blessed. Because he's a teacher after the heart of God. Let's pray for the manifestation of the power of God today. As the word of God comes, let it come with power. Those that have need for healing, let them receive their healing today in the name of Jesus. The confused, we receive direction today. Maybe there's something you have been confused about. You're supposed to make choice. The Lord will direct you today. As Pastor speaks the word of God, you will learn, will receive understanding, will receive clarity in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's thank the Lord for answering our prayers. Let's thank him because we are partakers of his love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for answering our prayers. Thank you, King of Glory. Thank you because we are open to your word. Thank you because we'll give attention to your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
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 Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's quickly get into our instruction with the word of God, which is one thing that characterizes our school of prayer because it's a school. And before we do that, we'll always take our declaration of understanding. Let's do that quickly. One, two, let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. So let's take our seats. Psalm 119. Let's take a text just to start. Then we'll now go into the teaching. Then we'll get back to that particular one we are reading now. I just want to read it now simply for the purpose of taking a text of scriptures to start. Psalm 119, let me read from verse 8. I read from verse 9, sorry, not 8. I read to verse 16. He said, how can a young man keep his way pure? The answer is by keeping it according to your word. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. He said, with my lips I have told all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies
as much as in all riches. I wish we could all say that. Please look at that verse 14 again. What did David say? I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Because of that, look at verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. You know, we talked about the seven dedications of the thirsty soul. Hopefully today, but if it doesn't work out, next time, we should bring it to a close. We began the school of prayer this year with it. And we've been on it for some time. And what we got this year, what we began to teach is the fact that people must determine to have a deeper walk with the Lord. Christianity is an all or none life. You can't do it halfway. If you do it halfway, you die in the wilderness. That's the rule of God. His desire, his plan, is that each person that leaves Egypt will walk closely with him until they get into the promised land. No child of God should be satisfied with anything less than the best of God happening in his or her life. Do you get my point? Let's not be like those who will say a commandment like, of course, misunderstood, misread, that Paul wrote to Timothy and to Titus, that when you're appointing deacons, elders for the church, they must be a husband and one wife. And they do not sit down there and not open mouths to talk rubbish like, what if I don't want to be a deacon? What if I don't want to be an elder? Now, first, for those who have not heard me explain that before, Paul never said to be a husband of one wife is for deacons. The literal Greek, when he spoke, was you are to be a man of one woman. He wasn't talking about husbands and wives. He was talking about marital fidelity. He wasn't counting wives, I wanted to say. The literal Greek is be what? A man of one woman. So he was addressing the fact that the man should not have girlfriends outside his wife. That's what he was addressing. He was not at all counting wives. If you want to teach monogamy, you can go to our website. You see the message there. I have a sermon out there on the doctrine of monogamy. It's not based on that scripture at all. That scripture will give you a number of traits and attributes that a deacon should have, which includes it shouldn't be a drunkard, which includes that he must have a good reputation with those who are outside, which includes the fact that he must have his children under good control in the house, which includes that he should not be a boxer on the road, shouldn't be a brawler, which includes that he must not be one that loves money. I've given you a number of them, most of them, maybe I missed one or two out. You can't say because I don't want to be a deacon, I can be a fighter. I can be an agbero. Every time somebody annoys me, I'm in a fight. They give me more money to hold. I can't account for it. I drink until they have to pick me up from the gutter. You say, why are you like this? I'm not a deacon now, Josh. You don't say that. Do you get my point? And that's exactly what Paul was saying. He was saying, these persons, whether you are picking a deacon or an elder or whatever, he must be one that can be set in front as an example for other believers to follow. That's what he was saying. Now, but that's not my message. I just want to drop that for those who may not have heard us teach about it before. All right? Sometimes this is the only time they are catching. This may be the first time they are getting your message, or they're just stumbling into this. So let them get the benefit of that understanding. But let's get back to the main thing we are saying. You should never be one to say, I don't want to be a deacon. Why should you not want to be a deacon? That's what I'm saying. Even if, of course, the answer is that's not the truth. That's not what it applies to. But let's even assume that was the issue that applied only to a deacon. Shouldn't he, have you not heard? that if somebody desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. Why don't you want to desire a good thing? Why do you want to be in church all your life and you are not responsible for anything? Why do you want to be in church all your life and you can't be counted amongst the elders and you've been in church for 30 years just because you have to marry that girl? Let's assume that was the issue. Of course, we've already established that it's not about marrying a second wife. But even if it were, why do you want to be one that will be stagnated all your life at a low level of Christianity? Why would Jesus come down and say, I want to hand out my powers? I want to hand out my responsibilities to persons. And you are not one that he can trust. Why would you want to be like that? Why is it that Jesus will come, he wants to hand out his powers, and you are satisfied with not being able to hold it? Just because you want to marry a second wife. There is nothing in marrying many wives. I hope you get my point. See, how do I know? Pastor, you married three before? No. Because I read my Bible, and the greatest womanizer, it was not a womanizer in that sense, but the greatest marrier of all times that we know, his name was who? Solomon. And what did Solomon say? He said, there is nothing better than for a man to have one wife. That's what he said. He said, should you rejoice in the wife of your youth. One wife, not two. And this is from a man who had experimented with marrying 700, technically. Proper wedding ceremony for 700. And then 300 concubines. I was analyzing it with my wife again yesterday night. And was just saying that was wickedness. Why would you do that to somebody's daughter? It's wickedness. I'm sure Solomon is walking on the road. He saw one of the ladies, and that one bowed, said, who are you again? I'm one of your wives, my lord. I said, okay. When did I marry you? Yeah. How can you have 700 wives? I can recognize all of them. I'm telling you, that's what happened. You know, there are some men, in Western Nigeria at least, they used to joke about those days. They have so many children. So General Rocker said, who's your mother again? Yeah, seriously. That's how they talk to the Nigerians. Go, tell my man, you know, who's your mother again? The man has like maybe 8 wives. Each one has like 5 children, so 40 children in the house. So one comes, says going to school. He has to ask, who's your mother again? Let me be sure of how much money. Yeah, seriously. The Lord is good. So what I'm saying is, so forget that thing. Solomon, it's from him I learned it. He said it's not worth it. It's not. And now I've been married for 25 years, a few months over. I can assure you, it's better like this. It is. So why wouldn't, now, it's not even worth it. So why would I sacrifice spiritual advancement for vanity? What am I going to say? Let's remember, we shouldn't be satisfied with just making it into heaven. Finally made it. Why? Why can't you brag like Paul? I've run the race. I've finished my course. Most importantly, I have kept the faith. Now, what remains for me now is that crown of righteousness which God has kept for all those who have loved his appearing. And you're saying with confidence. It's not, God, please, let me be found worthy. Last day, he said, I have been found worthy. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'd rather depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. However, let's postpone it because, you see, there's still more fruitful labor to be undertaken on your behalf or in your lives. Is that not better? To be able to stand with confidence like the Lord Jesus Christ and say, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. And you are saying with confidence. What can he do? You are saying with confidence. There was a time Paul was writing to the Philippians and shouting that I may know him. Are you getting my point? Yeah, he was pursuing something. At the time, he stopped saying things like that. He said, I've reached there. Now I'm ready to go. You know, we read it, we often look as if that was, it got to a point in time. Say, I have known him. Now what remains is for me to see him face to face. So that I'll fully recognize him the way I've been known by him. That as for this existence, I've reached where it can be reached. Is that not better? Is it not better to sound like two men I quoted here before? One of them, Lester Sumrall. I heard Derek Prince say it also. One of them said 50 or another said 60. I can't remember who said which now. But I can say what both of them said. Let's take the lower one. Said 50 years I've been serving the Lord and I've not been out of the will of God once. Isn't it not better? And you're not talking to a small boy here. You're talking to a man maybe in his 80s. So in the last 50 years, I've not been out of the will of God once, not one time. Is that not better? Isn't it better to speak like a man like Kennedy who would tell you that he was in a family house. They used to stay with families those days. And the old woman, the grandmother, there was crying. What happened? Their daughter was missing. And he said to them, she's not missing. He said, how do you know? The only thing he had to say. He said, did the Lord speak to you? He said, no. It is just that such things don't happen. Such a great calamity will not happen in a house I'm staying in and I won't be told ahead of time. That's all. He went to somewhere to minister. And that's where he was staying. One day he came home or he woke up in the morning, he was hearing so much noise. What is the problem? He said, the daughter is missing. There's a granddaughter, the woman who was doing most of the crying, the grandmother of the girl that's missing. A 17-year-old, 16-year-old girl who was supposed to come by bus to come and meet her parents. She's gone. They didn't see her. And the woman was crying and crying. Everybody was worried. Said, don't worry, she's okay. Said, of course, they knew he was a prophet. Said, did the Lord tell you something? He said, no, that's the point. They didn't tell me anything. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
That's the point. That if this was going to happen and I was going to stay in this house, he would have told me ahead. He would have prepared me. I would have warned you. I would have preached about it. I would have gotten you ready. He didn't tell me that. Take it. Nothing happened with the girl. She just entered the wrong bus. As soon as he said that, he had a vision. After saying it, he just had the vision. Bam! He saw the girl come down from the bus. You know, the way if you have traveled by luxury bus in Nigeria, when they get to a park, everybody must come down. Yeah. So they came at a particular point. Then she went into the restaurant, then came out and entered the wrong bus. They just said, oh, yes, as soon as he finished, but let's not even talk about how, of course, the girl finally came back home safe and sound and what he said was true. But is that first part of it I'm talking about? When you hear such things, does it not desirous you? Do you follow my point? Does it not stir up desire in you? Does it not stir up something? Say, you know that kind of thing. You will now go and lock the door and say, Father God, I want to see you. Is there any problem? Say, me and that guy are both children of God. Is it good? You know, that's Lord, please, excuse me. I'm a child of God. He's a child of God. Why? You say, check out. All my life, confusion. I can't even lead my own life right. Look at somebody else is leading other people. Lord, we must settle it. What did I do wrong? I'm not correct. I know you are righteous, you are just, you are good. But spread this power around small. Don't you get such desires? They just want to finally make it into heaven. After you have gone to a bar, you have gone to a joint, you have eaten, you have married three wives, you have sinned, they have forgiven you. Just finally just kick him over to heaven. Almost the angel that kicked you over said, almost missed the goal. And you're excited you made it. What kind of nonsense? Do you get my point? You have a better value for your life. I desire something good. That's what we're talking about. You hear certain testimony, you say, So me and those people are serving the same God. One day I heard small thing, but big thing actually. I heard the testimony of how many people know Gypsy King, the Gypsy King? Everybody looking at me like, what was the Gypsy King? Wait, I know you know. I'm waiting for all these people here. People who don't know Gypsy King. Woman of God. I know you will not know Gypsy King. Now, Catherine Kuma, you know. You're a woman of God now. That's my mother in the Lord. Yes, you know. So you can't be doing Gypsy King. She's too busy praying for us. I can't even do Gypsy King. Anyway, Tyson Fury, world champion boxer. That man is almost 7 feet. It's about six. Is it 6'10"? About 6'7". But it's very, very tall. It's much over 6 feet tall. His name is Tyson Fury. Do you know why? His father named it after Mike Tyson. Many people don't know that. He was named after Mike Tyson. I read the story. So when he was small, when he was born, I think he was small, he was frail, you know. And his father said, his father had become a Christian. So his father said, when he said the child would die, he laughed. He said, this child would not die. That he's going to grow to be a giant. He's going to be almost 7 feet tall and he's going to be a world champion. So he gave him the name Tyson. Little infant baby. Ah. Now this is not a well-educated, righteous church, just somebody who gave his life to Christ and began to have revelation. Do you know he ended up in prison? I don't know for what. Tyson Fury's own child at the point in time, of course they had funny lives. I'm not trying to say everything was okay with them. Tyson's child was sick one day, and the doctor also said the child would not live through the night. So he called the father in prison. He said, this is what the doctor said. And that one said, okay, I dey come. You know, like the way we say in Nigeria, I dey come. The man got on his knees and prayed. And then I think he called again. Now, let me not make the story up. But he called him again and said, don't worry. Nothing will happen to the child. From prison cell. They woke up in the morning, the child was fine. You hear such testimony. He said, Lord, I'm not even boxing. You want to give me... Do you follow my point? I'm not even beating... These are people who are beating... They don't beat people. And your own is that you want to marry two wives. You are not a dickhead. Look, this year we said we are not joking with Moi Moi Christian. You know, if you are from Australia, what by Moi Moi Christianity is Christianity that is on the Moi level. Do you understand? Oh, you don't understand? Okay, they don't understand yet. It's on. Please give me what they can understand. Okay, sausage Christianity. Is that good? Ice cream Christianity. Yes, they can understand one. Omelette Christianity. We are talking about steak Christianity, hard meat, bone Christianity. Do you get my point? Timber Christianity. Axe and... Do you get my point? Christianity. That's what we're talking about. Not time for, spaghetti Christianity. I said at the beginning, see, Jesus doesn't like half-baked Christianity. He said, if you were hot, he said, you're neither hot nor cold. He said, now, because you are neither hot nor cold, and are just lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, you know what that means? He despises your presence in his mouth. So which kind of person is this one? He wants Christians that are hot, they are vibrant, always aiming for higher things and deeper work with God. That's what he wants. We'll see it again today as we go on. Please, I've been saying it. Don't let any pastor confuse you. There are a lot of false teachers these days, like Elder John was leading on the prayer at the beginning. There are a lot of false teachers. There were false prophets those days. Now what we have to contend with are what? False teachers. And one major thing that marks out false teaching in Christianity is when they make you friends of the world. Mark what I've said down. Any pastor, any teacher, prophets, let's add them, that's making you love the world more and longing for the return of Christ less is false. I'll take a small aside and help those who are preachers again. See, if your aim in life is a big church, you have missed God, Pastor. What you are working towards is having a big church. You have missed God. What you are working towards is the biggest cathedral in town. You have missed God. If you are working towards, listen to this, is having 1 million followers on WhatsApp channel, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube subscribers, you will miss God. Because you will learn ungodly algorithms. No, let me pull it back. You will learn algorithms which are not based on the content, the godly content of what you are preaching to give you followership. Look, if you are getting your validation from how many persons are following you and you're a preacher, my God, you've missed God before you missed him. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
See, right now, your words may still sound right, but they will change. They will. You can't help it, though. Please, again, I recommend, read my book, Someone is Controlling You. Where you will get to in life is dependent on where you have hooked your, what do you call it now? Something is pulling you now. It's where you hook it. No, anchor keeps you standing somewhere. I want one that's moving. Like, you know when they are towing the vehicle? Not that tow thing. Uh-huh. It's where, that's it. If you hook it, okay, like now, okay, where you hook your cart, yes, let's put it like that. The train is the thing that's pulling you. The cars or the cart is that one that you attach to it. If you hook it on a train, all of them are going on the right place, it appears like. Wait till the road starts diverging. If you hooked it that I want to succeed in this life, and what you call success, you know what I mean, is material, you will go off tangent. You will finish preaching and not believe you are the one that said what you said. You say things that when you get home, you'll be surprised you said. You know why? Because a spirit possesses you and speaks by you. If you are not careful, the kind of spirit you yielded yourself to, you'll be talking nonsense. I've seen pastors start preaching what they don't believe. And they can't stop. They can't stop. Simply because they put something else in front of them. See, you know what Jesus said? What's my satisfaction? Doing the will of him that sent me and finishing his work. That is the thing that satisfies me, he says. Let me say it again. Preachers, please bear it in mind. I was talking to one man today. In fact, I think it's just a good illustration. Okay, it's my guy when I came to the church that I pointed to his car. So I was just saying that, I was in that program. He said, that he was trying to say that the day he came, I didn't minister that day. That had ended my ministration. I said, okay. So I now asked about his church. He said that he's a branch pastor. I said, where's your overseer, your big bishop, the big senior pastor? He mentioned one other smaller city in Enugu. Let me not mention. Let's just say Oji. All right, it's not Oji, but let's just say Oji. He said, we're planning to move to Abuja. I said, why? I said, I'm not saying it's wrong. So I just need to know why. You know, we're interrupted. But by the time I was done talking with him for like, I don't know, it was more than 5 minutes. They called his attention for something. I know as he was leaving, he was hitting his head. Like, my God, my God, my God. I said, you may be in Oji. I said, do you know how long Billy Akone has been in Boko? I said, where was Pai Elton? I said, do you know Sam Adeyemi? Olayinka, correct this if I'm wrong. I said, do you know Sam Adeyemi? He said, yes. I said, do you know the name of his pastor? He didn't know. The man who raised him. What's his name? Okay, good. I was right. Don't be sure. I said, Reverend George. You know Reverend George? He said, no. I said, he has been in Lorry all my life. That Sam Adeyemi used to pastor for George Adeboye. George Adeboye did not live in Lorry. I told him, I said, listen, I've had ministers, one I had in mind, who said he was opening a branch in Lagos. We're both in Enugu here. I said, why? He said, Lagos is where you will find people to support you. I said, sir, sit down where the Lord has kept you. Don't worry about who are supporting you. It was your husband that was saying that day. Your husband, they talk nonsense. It's ignorance. He didn't know. Don't worry. What the nonsense her husband said is between the three of us. Okay? It's not a horrible thing. When I told him I do not know 90% of those that give to Kingdom World, he was shocked. And I dare to say about that number and not in Enugu. That percentage. That's what I said, your husband was. He said, what? There's something he said, I can't repeat. That's the nonsense I was talking about. I said, what? I said, 90% of those that give their financial resources to Kingdom World, I don't know them. Never met them. One day, one brother talked to tall reverend. Went to preach somewhere. Said, what pastor is preaching has to be in my home state. So he and tall reverend, they had negotiated. He went to radio station. We have a small room. If you want to help us, join us. Let's not use the word help us. Join us to put our materials on radio. You don't negotiate by yourself. We really don't like it. Because you may not know. We know the business. You don't know the business, So, tall reverend told him that, no, let me do the negotiation. So, that guy got the contact and handed over to our guy. So, that one, of course, we know how to drive a hard bargain. They will tell you those, they maybe pay 15,000 naira for this few minutes slot. We say, lie, I'll give you 2,000, that kind of thing. Eventually, we always come to a good agreement, all right? So, this guy was expecting something else. So, when our brother told him this is the amount, he was shocked. So what did he do? He paid for a year. He had held the money thinking he would pay for a quarter. When he heard how much it was, he paid for a whole year. He just called and said, I've paid them. Send them materials. I told this guy this is this afternoon or this morning. I said, if your guy wants to move because the Lord actually, by many signs and indications, if the Lord actually says that, say good. But if he's looking for something, where God has kept his thing is where he kept him. I saw this guy that I told him, if I were standing, I said, do you know how many terrestrial radio stations I broadcast on? That's Kingdom World. That's why I use the word I. He didn't know. I said 24. As of today. Not counting our internet radio that runs all the time. As a physical station, 24. One day, for certain banking issues, there was some issue with our bank when they were doing there were some issues. We couldn't move money to other banks that's outside their own. And we're owing these radio stations. Weeks were now passing. So finally, I said, okay, tell Reverend, let's do something. Total all the money that we are supposed to pay now. All right? And then, now not all the radio stations, but a good number of them, because we're now behind, because we're having issues with transferring money. So we can't keep, in fact, he said that those were not disturbing him. And we normally don't owe anyway. God has blessed us. We have the money to pay. So this was just a banking software issue. The one that the banks moved over to another platform. It gave a lot of problems that time. I've not even finished fully solving it now. I've had personal issue with them today. Today. I wrote them one long mail this morning. I said, guys, you know, I haven't done too much. I said, please, you have the whole thread. Forward to your management. What you guys are doing is not good. Anyway, that's another issue. So, and I said, okay, total all the money. Then we'll move it in bulk. We can go to the bank, we can do this, or we'll just move it in bulk. So, he sat down, total all the money we're supposed to pay. So, he come and says, sir, I've totaled it, but I think there's a mistake. Let me go over it again. I said, no, it's not a mistake. He's the one that controls all these radio stations. When once we total how much we had to pay, he was shocked. He said, no, there's a mistake. That he told the baby to help him add it up. That he thinks the young boy is too young, doesn't know how to do it. I said, this boy passed jump. You know what he got in math. He got admission to university to go and study science. So he knows. He said, sir, it must be his mistake. He said he used calculator. I said, okay, he decided to use hand. Can you imagine when the man decides that the calculator is making a mistake, he needs to use his hand. When they told me on the phone, I said, don't worry, it's correct. I said, do it 20 times. It's correct. Why? When he saw the bulk. Because normally you just call, we just do the I said, look, let's do it this way. We'll pull out the money, we'll give it to them, go to their, you know, move them to them one by one. We are having banking issues. And it's not all of them, and it's one quarter. He was shocked. He says, I think there's a mistake. I told him, there's no mistake. I told him, do a small calculation. Check the average we pay. I said, multiply by 24. And you think it's still a mistake? Even he, now, we have been doing this together forever. Yet, he almost fell down under the weight of glory. No, you can just do a small estimate. You're paying 24 radio stations every 3 months. I told the guy I was talking with, you know, his mouth was dropping open. He was knocking his head when he was leaving. I said, people told me, go to where people will support you. I said, I've not left Enugu. I said, Bele Akone has been in Boko. Most people in Nigeria know Boko because of him. Yet, 7 Senate presidents have driven there to go and sit down and hear him preach. Governors have driven there to go and sit down and hear him preach. Pastors have gone there. They've come from neighboring African countries. They've come from Europe, come from North America to go to Boko and go and sit down and hear him preach. There's no airport in Boko. I told my guy, go and tell your guy. You should pray. Make up his mind, though. If that is not Oji, just raise your hand. If it's Oji, where God says, stay there. Stay there. In the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Stay there. You young people, that's going to say, this one, they'll be running up and down. Please, I beg you, don't reject your blessing. I was talking to one young man today. He was an example. I just joked with him the way I joke with people. He was answering questions. He started from the last question, number 50. He started from number 48 or number 42, something like that. I said, what are you doing? He says, I started from behind. Why did you start from behind? And I jokingly said something. I didn't have time. It was an exam hall. I didn't have time. I just said, oh God, what a shame. And I want to warn all you young people about it. And I jokingly said to him, I said, well, you're born in Australia. Now, for those who wonder why I say Australia, if Nigeria is on this part of the globe, Australia is on the other part. So anytime something is upside down, the joke is that, are you from Australia? Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Because it's, now, these are, you see men who wear plain t-shirt and colorful trousers. That's Australia. Are you getting my point? You know, when we're younger, and what men, what we can do is wear colorful tops and then plain trousers. But things are upside down now, right? Things upside down. But let's talk about the young man. You know what he said to me? I said, were you born in Australia? He said, I wish. I pretended like I didn't hear him. I just walked away. Let me just warn many of you. See, it's very, very Christian. If you're an unbeliever, please continue unbelieving until you give your life to Christ. If you're a believer, see, what you are looking for away from where God kept you, you will find something far inferior to what he prepared for you. Fact. That thing, when you've gone looking for something away from where God kept you, what you will find cannot be as good as what he kept for you. I don't have time to teach you about that in details, but just lock it in the bottom of your brain. Let it speak to you at night. What is most important to you is, where has God kept me? Where did he say I should go? If my name is Abram and I've been prospering in Ur, he can move me. You know, these days, when we want to move, it must always be to a more physically prosperous place. That's how you know God is not moving them. If God was moving all of us, you will see some of us go to prosperous places and some of us go to places that don't look as prosperous. The way we are going to Europe, that way we'll go to East Africa. The way we are going to North America, we will go to Asia. We'll just be going. That's what evangelists and apostles do. But when we are all going in one direction, it's like we are leaving the land and heading for Egypt. Let's bear it in mind. What am I talking about? See, let's take this Christianity seriously. Don't joke with it. Don't play. See, don't just tell you. See, I've said before, you've left Egypt. Now, let me tell you, you go and pray. And we'll pray again today. Say, Lord, I have left Egypt. I say, what do you mean? Say, that's what I mean. I have left Egypt. I will follow Moses, in quote, all the way into the promised land. Say, Lord, I'm not dying in the wilderness. If getting into the promised land entails eating only manna, I don't care how monotonous manna is, I will eat it. If getting into the promised land means I don't change my clothes till we enter there, Lord, I will wear the same clothes. Please, can I beg you, don't let them wear out. Let my sandals not wear out in the wilderness. But this promised land, I must get there. Lord, I will not grumble against you. I will not grumble against Moses. I will not grumble against any blessing you've given me. Whatever you supply, I will eat. I don't want meat. I don't want cucumbers. I don't want garlic. Anything that does not rain with manna, please don't give me. See, the Lord, this promised land, whatever it takes, we must enter. Let me remind you of what I said earlier about false teachers. They make you love the world. They make you love the world. Listen, I went to a church long ago. I hope the pastor is still doing the same thing. I went to this church. I'm trying to look at who dressed the way I dressed that day. Okay, nobody here. Anyway, that day I wore white linen. Linen material, starched. It was Sunday service. You know, today is Tuesday evening. Many of you came from where you are laying block, where you are climbing tree, from under motor car, where you are offloading rice, I can understand. Where you are pursuing children about for the assignment, I can understand. So I don't expect. Not many people came from where Dean Woke is coming from, wherever that is, with his tie in proper place, pocket filler everywhere. We thank God for his life. I have a brother in the Lord. Aha, Elder John, thank you. I didn't notice you. Yeah, I was dressed like Elder John. Oh, God. That's why he's an elder. Yeah, I was dressed like Elder John right there, wearing white. Looking, did you get my point? And it was a day that it rained. It's not a strange day, is it not Lagos? It's not like it's an unusual day, but it rained. But unlike Enugu, you know when it rains in Enugu, praise God for Enugu. As long as the rain stops, the water disappears. To flood the earth, God had to move Noah from Enugu because flooding Enugu was very difficult. Maybe that's why we don't have water, but flooding Enugu is difficult. So, no, people who live in Enugu, they don't know. Go and stay in Benin for a few. This rain season is starting now. Go to Benin. You know what I'm saying. So it's one of those days in Lagos. I was going to church and I dressed, bam, you know, all white linen, everything. And it rained, so I was stepping like this. Ginger, you know, I didn't have a car of my own. I had to go by public transport. I stepped nicely, made sure no splashes on my trousers. You know, you walk nicely. So you go to church looking clean and you sat down and started hearing the word. And the word came. And the word talked about the new man in Christ. How the blessing is stored in heaven where moth cannot touch it. Where nothing that changes on the earth can undermine it. And he explained along the line that whatever pressure, negative thing comes on this earth is only going to, you know, unleash the full potential of the seed hidden in heaven. And he talked about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. That anytime you see sufferings in your life, read the scripture, you will see the glory that's supposed to follow it. Yeah. Now this is where I'm going. Remember my fine white iron linen? After service. I was stepping anyhow inside the mud. Splash! 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 I despised the clothing. Get dirty if you want to. You only be added to the sufferings of Christ. That the glories of Christ may manifest. The glories to follow. That day. You know, I saw heaven. Let's just put it like that. I was no longer nothing on this earth. You know, I couldn't feel the sufferings of the earth anymore. I became too heaven-minded. One message. I took my book of Isaiah and read it. I said, see the word of God. I was feeling, you know, this kind of feeling cool. You're going around just feeling cool with yourself. Meanwhile, physically, I knew nothing. I had nothing. Physically, I had nothing. That is a real message from God. The things of the world lost attraction. My current situation didn't mean anything. I felt so blessed. Yet you've been to churches before. Your pastor said that you are 40, you don't have land. You leave the service. Like one girl, so I saw in Precious Status. They said, do you think you have done enough for God, for all the blessings he has blessed you? The girl said, actually, I don't think he has done as much for me as I've done for him, so I walked away from him. Yeah, somebody said that. And there are things you say in your heart, God will pretend like he didn't hear. You now post it. Because you know why God will pretend he didn't hear? So that Satan will use it against you. You now post it. Now even the devils now know what to bring in judgment against you. They now know it. I told Precious, I said, this is a result of faulty teaching. Yeah. So you walked away. You had legs to walk away. You have that hand to type on this phone for us. And you say, God, he didn't do anything. It's not her fault. It's the pastors that made her earthly minded. You grumble. You know how much money you have given to the Lord. Why won't you grumble? I've heard pastors say it. You can't be a Christian. I have nothing to show for it. And I'm only, like what? Like what? Because Muslims have to show. Criminals have to show. If it's this show thing. And the men of the Bible, many of them which you know, didn't have to show. John didn't have to show. Elijah didn't have to show. Men of this whole earth was not worthy. They didn't have to show. I'm just going back how we began this year. Let's take our Christianity seriously. You will tell God. At the point in time in my life, I said that to the Lord. And I still say it. But that time, I made a commitment to him. I said to the Lord, if it's poverty, don't worry about me. I told him like that. I said, it's poverty, don't worry. I told the Lord, I said, don't worry. I said, I will save it in the end. The only thing I added to it, I said, if you don't want to give me material, you know, things of material comfort, can I beg you for one thing? Don't give me a wife. And I meant it. I was willing, I still remember that season. I was willing to live like John the Baptist. I was willing to live like Paul in the Bible. I was. I'm not lying to you. I was serious about it. I was dead serious about it. And why did I say that to him? I said, Lord, you know, if I have not eaten and it's only me, it's not a problem. I said, but when you have a wife and kids and the children have not eaten, it's going to be a bit distressing. So I said, Lord, if we are going like this, please, don't give me a wife. I don't want a family. Then I'm telling you, these are things I said on my knees. It was sincere talk. I wasn't joking. Why would you joke when I read people like John G. Lake? You know, there are things you read. Like I was telling you, why do you want to say, if I don't want to be a deacon, can I marry two wives? Like I always say, no, if you don't want to be a deacon, I think you should try and marry four. Because you see, if you come to me, that's the advice I will give you. Marry one that can cook. Marry one that can take good care of the house. Marry one that can run a business. And marry one that knows socials, can go follow you to go and dance. How many of that? Four. It's okay. Will I go to heaven? Does it matter? Why are we talking about heaven? If you go to the heavens, you won't matter there. So leave that. My point is that I don't think I have the time to be engaging with people who are thinking at that level. You're thinking with your spinal cord. I don't have that time. You're saying spinal cord. That is good. Those of you know what I'm talking about. When I want to hear people, I tell them they think with their cauda equina. Go and ask what is cauda equina. Spinal cord is much higher than that. Those who get it, they are laughing. If you don't get it, forget about it. Seriously. I had to be serious. Because there was a time that I was really mean like John G. Lake. I saw what they gave up to serve the Lord. When John G. Lake described men, white men in the jungles of South Africa, when he called them and said, come, there's no money again to send to you. Small token used to send them weekly, monthly, to take care of themselves. And they said, all right. He said, step out. Let's talk. When they came back in, the men had prepared communion. They said, serve communion. He said, because we are going back to our fields. Even if we die of hunger, don't worry about it. They said, we have only one thing. If we die, come and bury us. He said, that year, I buried men, I buried wives, I buried children. You don't see people telling me that power is not constant. This man left civilization, walked into the bush to go and preach the gospel. The godly ones of the land, they are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. I read their stories. I got on my knees. I said, dear Lord, if it is in poverty, I will serve you. I'm telling you, that was only caveat. I just begged him. Let me go it alone. Can't drag any woman with me. I can't drag kids. John G. Lake's wife died of hunger and malnutrition in South Africa. What are you talking about? Yeah. This was a man who by today's standard was a multi-millionaire in US dollars. Counting today's dollars. Big man, successful. That was why I told the Lord. I read the books. Yeah? This is how people saved God. Someone have been preaching one nonsense prosperity to me. Wale Okeke said the day he answered the call to ministry, when he swore to God that the Lord should send him anywhere he will go, was when he and his friends were in a village somewhere, I think in Oshun. Today's Oshun, there was no Oshun that time. That was sure, you're one of those, anyway, or you're still that time. They went to go and preach. They will go clear grass, make stage, young boys from university. And then, they now decided that we are too worn out to preach. They now sent one of them to go to town, go and get a preacher. So they will do the praying, they will do the arrangement, or they'll go around the villages, the towns around, announcing that by the time it's time to preach, they won't have the energy again. Let's go and get a preacher from town. They didn't think anything of it until the preacher arrived. And he asked them, where am I going to sleep? They didn't realize that sleep, because they didn't used to sleep. They used to pray. They will pray at night. But they had a corner in a classroom in this primary school that they were using for the crusade. The field that we're using. They said, okay, now here with the manager. He said, the guy asked, where will I hang my suit? He said, they were young boys, about three or four of them. They were shocked. Okay, hang your suit. We have not had nowhere to lay our heads since we came. You're talking about hanging your suit? They did not factor all these things in. The man took his bag and left. While Luke, he said, he ran into the bush to go and cry. He realized that God didn't have men. He felt sorry for God that day. Say, is that how hard is it to find people to go and preach for you? He swore to God that, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I will go. It's obvious you don't have people. Those are the people I heard, though. I heard all these people preach. When I read, I told the Lord, I beg. Whatever it will take, I will follow you. Just tell me where. I just begged him that, please. This shipwrecking thing is okay, but let me shipwreck alone. I told the Lord those things. I didn't, you want to shipwreck me, it's fine. in fastings, in hunger. I said, it's okay. I told the Lord, it's okay. But I would like to do it all by myself. So when you see a preacher finishing preaching to you, and he's telling you that if you have not yet made it, and you're 40, what have you been doing? One guy talks so much nonsense, say your problem is that you have not been servicing your prophet. Say you have prayed. You have sowed seeds. I talk, Lord, what is remaining? Why this would not breaking through? They have not been servicing their prophet. This is just in case you are looking for a prophet to service, not this one. Don't turn me to Babalawo. If it doesn't work now, you'll be looking for who will refund you tomorrow. I don't have money for refund, you hear? Any money you give me or give kingdom, we don't chop up. We can't refund though. Please, in case you stole money, don't give us, because if EFCC comes, we have nothing to refund. The man said, why? Because everything is about what you will gain on this earth. And I'm telling you, if you finish listening to a message and your dedication to God is not stronger than before, that's false teaching. That's false teaching. And suddenly, you start feeling that all your hope is on this earth alone. You listen to a false teaching. Christians, you understand, there is hope in heaven. Your service on this earth is not rewarded on this earth. You have to be looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be looking forward to the day of God's judgment. You have to be looking forward to the crown of righteousness that He has preserved or reserved for you. You can't have all your reward. Not even all. You can't have your reward on this earth. What you get on this earth is a blessing. What you get on this earth are results of faithfulness, which means you have qualified to serve at a higher level. Like I say, try to make a point. When do you think, if you've been in public service, you can answer this easily. When do you think Joseph slept more? In the house of Potiphar or as prime minister in Egypt? The house of Potiphar. One of the reasons why God sent him to prison is go and sleep well. The journey is foul. Sleep well now because this journey is plenty. Do you realize what that guy was doing? Strangers came into the land. They had to report to Joseph. He was not only, he was literally prime minister. Minister of finance reported to him. Minister of interior reported to him. Defense minister reported to him. The intelligence agencies, they reported to him. People came from afar. They will come and report to him. Some people, they've come from another country. They'll give a daily report. Then all he will give Pharaoh is what they call an executive summary. What do I mean? The food is being distributed. Everybody is getting their right portion. Yes, sir. Everybody is happy. That's what the Pharaoh needs to hear. Then Joseph goes back to carry all the load. Is that what you call a blessing? That's responsibility. That's a high level of service. Paul said he found me faithful. What did he do? Committed to me in ministry. Because I was faithful, he gave me work to do. Please, we began this year with that. This is our Christianity. Must be what? Serious. And that's why I wanted to do 7 dedications, which is what we have already taken number 1 again. Today I will not repeat all of them, lest I get caught up in. You understand what I'm saying? So, let's go to where we stopped. And now we're talking about this. That's our 6th, right? Yes. It's the 6th in which we say we must dedicate ourselves to hearing His voice clearly. And I started by explaining that I'm not talking about hearing spirits. Living like spooky, you know what we call spooky people. A friend is in your house. What would you like to eat? You say, I'm coming. What are you doing? I'm asking the Lord what I should eat. Like I said on Saturday, that is not Christianity. That is abnormality. You're telling me?
Yes, sir.
That is not Christianity. What is it? You are an abnormal person. Yeah, an abnormal human being. If you want to cross the road, you know what to do? You look left, you look right, then you look left again. Then you walk fast across when the road is clear and you don't run. And you pray in the morning that the Lord will guide you and He will protect you. You don't close your eyes and say, we're about to cross the road. What do we do? Let's join hands. Father God, as we're about to, when should we cross? That is not Christianity. What is that? Abnormality. That's not Christianity. Christians don't behave like that. Like I said, those of you who just go to motor park and pray for a wife, then go to Peace Mass, you enter the first bus, after you have paid and the driver is going, you ask the driver, where are we going? The driver looks at me, what do you mean? I just want to be sure. He said, where do we agree on Saturday? He come, right? The driver said, he come. He said, okay. Then you sleep. Say, when we go to the park, wake me up. Then you get to the park, the guy wakes you up, and you left with, we assume that the bus fare was 5,000, and you left with 1,500. Time reach, you come, you had only 1,500 in your pocket. You're now waiting by the roadside. Let it be that the first woman who asks me what I'm looking for is the one the Lord has chosen. What are you feeling like? Eliezer of Damascus? Brethren, you are abnormal. You're not spiritual. That is what I call abnormality. You need counseling. If you tell me this morning as I woke up, you know, I said, the Lord said I should wear this black suit I'm wearing. It's okay. I won't say anything. What about yesterday? Yesterday I said I should wear green. The day before, uncle, the Lord said I should wear yellow. Brethren, you are hallucinating. You have what you call a schizoaffective disorder. Something is wrong with you. Pastor Banky, God speaks to people like that. I've told you only once in 2,000 years. And it wasn't you. No, we need to say it clearly now. But a Christian just wake up and misbehaving. Say, the Lord told me, the Lord told me, the Lord told me. And the Lord was not telling me. See, I'm being honest with you. Pastor Banky, you don't want us to believe God told us something. Yes. I want you to start obeying scriptures. I want you to obey the word of God on a daily basis and stop going around being spooky, being awkward. People can't depend on you because they don't know what you will hear from heaven now. Why were you late? When I woke up in the morning, my spirit, I was waiting for my spirit to say, time to go. So my spirit was silent. Brethren, that is not how normal Christians behave. Normal Christians know the time they are supposed to get to work is, let's say, 8 o'clock. They leave their homes by 7 because they don't have a car, they have to enter a bus. Just to clarify it. So are you saying God never talks to people? Normally, no, He doesn't. What did I say? Normally. Occasionally, He does. Let that occasionally be His decision. Not you standing at every junction to find out. When you get to a junction, read the signs. This is Obakiliki. This is Onitsha. This is 82 Div. Is going to... Read the signs. Don't get to that junction and close your eyes. Lord, how shall thy servant proceed on thy journey to Obakiliki? It's not necessary. Read the signs and ask the bus drivers there. Or bring out your phone. Google Maps. Don't feel spiritual. I don't have time for Google Maps. I just talk to the Holy Spirit. It's not spirituality. Why am I emphasizing this again? Someone will talk about being careful to hear His voice. I need to clarify this. I am not one of those that tell Christians to turn off normalcy and become fake spiritual. Let me not sit on it. My wife knows I don't like spiritual people. You too, you know. Not because they are spiritual, but because their spirituality is not true. Real spirituality is that... Now, listen to this. I eat according to the word of God. I sleep according to the word of God. I make my plans according to the word of God. I'm a single man. I'm thinking of who will I marry. I'm a single woman. I'm thinking, who should I accept this marriage proposal? I analyze it according to the word of God. First, are we of the same tribe? Say yes. The Bible says, give offense neither to Jews or to Gentiles or the church of God. So we are both in the church of God. Check. Be not unequally yoked, tied together in an imbalanced equation with an unbeliever. Is he an unbeliever? Yes. Sorry, too bad. Do you get my point? Somebody sent us a question some time ago that Abraham sent somebody to go and marry from his village for Isaac. So there are questions you hear, you don't even know where to start the answer from. I said, why are you answering it like that? Read the whole thing Abraham said to his servant. I don't want my son to marry from among these Canaanite women who worship idols, who don't know God. Let us go to those who know the true God. That's what he said, though. And the only place he knew is where he was coming from. It was about worship. That's spirituality. I've said it many times humorously. What is spirituality? These men, which one of them is rich? Which one of them is successful? All right? Let me open my spiritual eyes. Let's start with carnal eyes. Carnal eyes, man. Oh, I saw a joke some time ago. One guy was in church and a lady's phone fell down. And he helped her pick it out of courtesy. But you know, now I read it in the newspaper. So he picked it out of courtesy. But unfortunately, he picked it, the screen was on. And as it was given to her, he saw the balance, 50 million, in her account. Yeah. Immediately he heard God. Yeah, because he was single, the girl was single. He heard the Lord speak. Arise, my son, this is your wife. He heard God audibly, thank you. Now listen, do you know what happened to him? According to his story, I think it's a joke or something. At the end of the day, in a few months, they were married. He pursued the girl, with purpose, with favor, intentionally, thank you. Gave it everything that was needed. The girl thought he's such a wonderful man. And he was careful not to refer to the 50 million. Let it not be as if he's trying to marry her for her money. He did everything. The girl didn't have to spend a dime on their wedding. Then during their honeymoon, another alert came in. Like 40 million. Ah! Or one big alert came in. Bam. The girl picked the phone. And said, hey, this is my auntie. She lives abroad. She opened an account in Nigeria. She used my number as her contact. I have told her to change it. Because when she came, she didn't have a Nigerian number. Is the auntie that was getting her own bank alert, but was dropping on her phone. The guy, as I read the story, the guy said, he still has not spoken. And the girl was like, honey, what's the problem? There's no problem. There's no problem. There's no problem. Yeah, no, one of the jokes of the century. Now, can you see what I'm saying? Let's open our spiritual, let's use the carnal eyes. Who's rich? The guy who has that bank balance. Do you get my point? But let's open the spiritual eyes. Who's rich? The one who loves the Lord. Who's dedicated to God. Who aligns his life according to scripture. And who is responsible. Please, young ladies, don't marry men who are not responsible. If you tell the guy who wants to marry, who's saying he's interested in your case, wants to marry, say, please, tomorrow, hey, I need to go to so-and-so place. So it's by around 10 o'clock. I don't know whether you could escort me. He has time. And it's a Tuesday morning. Not a problem. You ask him again on Thursday by 12. He has time. Then you ask him again on Friday. By 10, he has time. It's the first week he's trying to impress you. Let's leave it. The following, you ask him again whether he can see you by 2 o'clock. He wants to help you with something. He has time. Please, don't talk to him again. Is that totally jobless? Or is he responsible? Even if it's his own business, is he responsible? That's not love. He's unfaithful. He should be able to tell you, okay, 10 o'clock. What is so important? He said, I need to go and pick the dress we'll wear for my sister's wedding. So anyone you wear is good. You won't go with me. I can't go with you. If I'm leaving where I'm working to go and be helping you dress for your sister's wedding, what will I leave when important things come up? So okay, it's not that important. That's the kind of man you should marry. Not that you don't even love me. If you tell me that kind of thing, I'll tell you, apparently I don't. My wife is not angry again that he has come again. He has come again. Now I'll tell you to your face. He said, you don't love me. I said, apparently I don't. If that's what you call love, I don't have it for you. I will tell you flat. Okay, you call that love? Well, like I keep saying, what the Bible says I should do? Love your wife how?
As Christ loved the church.
Not as Kanye West loved Kim. Do you get my point? Uh-huh. There's a world of difference. There's a world of difference. Uh-huh. Oh my God. Talking about spirituality. A woman with spiritual eyes, that's the thing she's looking for. Is a man faithful? Does he move with like a man with purpose? Does he love the Lord? Does he get into trouble once in a while for standing for righteousness? That's the man you'll follow. The money he doesn't have now doesn't matter. God will take us to somewhere that he prepared. Brethren, that is spirituality. It's not spirituality to the girl to come and tell you that, you know, when he first proposed, I went and prayed. My spirit now said, so I'm not listening to my spirit. My spirit will now say that, Angela, what do you think? And I told my spirit, I don't know what you are thinking too. People, that is not spirituality. Spirituality is for them to tell that, you know where he's from? Hey, or where she's from? The girls from that place, they're like this. So you say, Habba, if anyone is in Christ, she's a new creature. All things have passed away. That's spirituality. That is spirituality. When you take your decisions based on what is written, based on what the scriptures say, that is true spirituality. Does God speak to people? Let's add that one to it. Yes. Occasionally. He speaks different ways. One way he doesn't speak often is this your spirit. Because he knows that there are too many confusing things around. He said, but my spirit said, it's your spirit. That's not God. But it was right. Of course, are you not growing? It should be right a lot of times. It should be right. God can guide your spirit. But sometimes your spirit is defiled. It will confuse you. Okay, let me not teach about that. Go and read my book, Guided by the Spirit. So what we're talking about, please, following when we're talking about dedicating ourselves to hearing his voice accurately, this is what we mean. Let's do it and then we can close. God has something to say about everything, whether general or specific in your life. I said it somewhere along the line. I didn't emphasize on it. Almost sounds like a joke. He has something to say about how you dress. He has something to say about how you eat. He has something to say about how you sleep. Poof. Sleep. How you sleep. He has something to say about it. He does. He has a specific word for you personally on how you spend your money. On how you sleep. How you use your phone. Now, what our dedication is at God. That specific instruction. For every specific thing in my life, I will look out for it. That's the dedication we're talking about. That specific word, for every specific thing in my life, I will look out for it. You know, I was thinking about it today. Talking about money. Now let me explain. How do I say this now? It's about money. I have all kinds of ideas, you know. God give me some understanding. I can tell you how maybe you have like 20 million, 50 million, like according to Pastor Kemute, that you are not using. Now, you know, you can't keep it in a bank. Logically speaking, the value keeps going down and the bank can close on it. And the bank loses on it. They will help you find 5 million. 50 million went. They first help you find 5 million. They will now wait till they finish liquidating the bank. They will now share the rest of the money. You may get another five. That's 10 million. That's all. So I was thinking about that kind of thing. So I had beautiful ideas by which you can actually make that money work. You can make it secure and all. And I told myself, I was just thinking about it. I said, bangi, bangi. Bangi, bangi. These ideas you have, you know, if you use them, God will be angry with you. I said, because you know, in your life, it will be what? Worry and anxiety about tomorrow. And I laughed. I was driving over myself. You know, I was remembering things. Do you get my point? Things led to it. Okay, for example, where I live now. The first time somebody came, and they told us about land in that area. It was going for 500,000 naira. Yes. Let's even assume that's just a 500 square meter plot. That puts a 1,000 at a million. So some years ago. Right now, all right? The one right next to me, the way I live, was sold, I think, late last year. It was late last year, early this year. And one, 500, about 450, was sold for 27 million. That's all of it in the space of like 15 years. All right? Yeah, 15. Is it up to 20 years? It's not up to. When we had those meetings in church, when these centenary people, when they first came up with the idea, oh, that was those times. So I remember those things now. I just laugh. I said, Kai, what if I had looked for 500K times 4 or 5 that time? And I've gone in here. And I was just thinking. When I finished thinking, I started laughing. I said, because if to say you put that money in there, I've collected everything. Yeah, if you had done it, I'll have collected every single thing. When you finally needed to move there, okay. I paid 20 times what it used to be. Did you have money to pay? Yes, Lord. So shut your mouth and drive your car. Or shut your mind. It was not mouth. And drive your car. As I started laughing to myself, I realized that God has refused for me to have wise ideas to secure financial future. What I want to say is true, all right? But it's not the whole truth, but it's a huge part of it. No, okay, the truth is that I like giving out books free of charge. I hope I get my point. For many reasons. One of the reasons is because it helps me fulfill the ministry, the work. So that's our books are on the web free. Are you getting my point? So that's the main reason we're on the web free. The other part of it is this. There's nothing else I can do. Did you catch what I said? If I try to keep books up there so I can sell it, I get into trouble. So leaving it for everybody to download free of charge is a safety measure. I already told the first part, which is it helps the ministry. But the other part, which you should also bear in mind, is that it helps me to make the right decisions. It's a safety measure. Because if I say, okay, now you must pay before you click, God says, come, go and call that boy for me. 20 years to bring me before the throne. Thank you. Yeah. These guys said to me, I've not gone online myself, but he said to me that you insist on people paying this amount of money before they can download a book from your site. Is it true or false? Now, it is the Lord, eh? Don't even try to say any other thing. Lord, it is true. Good. Next question is what? Why? You know, I've been thinking about the answer for years. I've not found. That's why I've left it. As when he says why, what will I say? Because I already have all his own counter you know, queries. Wait, I know it already. Say, Lord, you know, so that we can find some money, you know, sometimes because it's go on. You know, in case I need to, you know, Perez, my little boy Perez, used to cause a lot of trouble when he was younger. So he had this habit. When he said, why did you do this? And that's this look that looks as if it's defying you. As if, what you are reading in his face, like, okay, so if I did it, what would now happen? So one day, I had to warn him that, Perez, when I ask you a question, I want an answer. I don't want silence. Do you understand me? Say, yes, Daddy. So next time he does something, Perez comes. Why did you do this? I said, remember, okay, it was because that time I was thinking about what I would do, and I didn't know what I would He will talk like this. And you start laughing. Here's the explanation. Then Benga said I should come, but I didn't want to answer him. Then I came back, and I don't know, I now carried the plate. So I see myself like Perez in the presence of the Lord explaining why the book can't be downloaded. In the interest of peace of mind. To prevent stories that I touch, I leave the book there. Everybody download it. Download it. Say, Pastor, God will bless you. The Lord has used you to bless me. Thank you. Just download it. Share it with somebody. I don't care. Because I have a specific word. You know what he said? Two things. One is in the scripture. One, we invented it. One, freely you have received, freely give. The other one is that freely you used to collect. Other people wrote books those days. Did you not photocopy it? Did you not borrow it? Did you not send? He has a word for even how you run ministry. Do you get my point? This is what we are saying. What's our dedication? Dear Lord, I will listen for the word for every aspect of my life. Do you know God has a word for how you address your husband? I know you're not a woman. Let me move over here. God has a word for how you address your husband. Okay, let me go to this guy now. He has a word for how you... Okay, sorry, get out. He has a word for how you address your wife. Shift! Am I talking to the two of you? He does. And we may be laughing. Exactly. Like... Mama Gio said he didn't approve Mama Ngozi for you. Your daughter is not Ngozi, is she? Mama Kahe. Now, I'm not saying it's a prophetic word, but he said that. He didn't say Mama Kamsi or Mama Kamso. Is that what Mama Kamsi means? You are the prophetess here. You were the one that prophesied it, not me. I'm not saying no, I'm just giving as an illustration. And if you hear the spirit by it, fine. But the point is that we have to, that our dedication, that we make up our minds, I will listen to what the Lord is saying. Where do we find it in scripture? It's in scripture. Let me give an example. I read the Bible. The Bible talks about Sarah, that she used to answer her husband, sir. Did you say so? Yes. That's what my Lord meant those days. That's the only way people address their husband. No. But that was the one that was commended. There's a word for everything. People have kidnapped me that I don't believe in dieting. That is like, I'm not saying you shouldn't diet. All these diet fads. People be quoting me here. The Pastor Banky said, like my wife will say, the Pastor Banky, they are quoting wrongly. Check how he lives his life. Because what I preach is that the word of God has something to say about your food. Number one, whatever is given is to be received how? With thanksgiving. Nothing to be rejected. Number two, everything. Number two, thanksgiving. And whatever you do, say, let your moderation be known unto all. The reference will tell you that gluttony, no, is it the reference that used to say it? It's as much a sin as telling lies. It is. Gluttony. One day, I learned it different ways. But what I heard the Holy Spirit say to me by my experiences and the scripture, if I come here now and we're here and then we'll now say, let's go. So I'm supposed to leave it by 7. Then I say, wait, the food is coming by 7:15. If I'm supposed to leave by 7, Holy Spirit forbids me from waiting because of food. Yes. Tell me. So food shouldn't drive you up and down. And my wife said, I said, sweetheart, it's time to go. But I cannot wait because the food is coming. If I was going to wait, are you getting my point? There are times your guest, your host with pressure, please don't go yet, wait. And then because of the host, you wait. But if it's like, nah, babe, that food must not pass me by. Don't do it. Oh. So there are places I have left, my hunger, they beat man. But it's time, if it wasn't time to go, it's a different matter. But it's time to go. Start moving. Look, I've preached again plenty. We're supposed to pray. One more thing I should say with prayer. All our dedications are prayers. They are prayers of consecration. They are prayers of dedication. They are not determinations. They are what? Prayers. And I found that, let me just add this one to it, then we'll start praying. Please. There's no superior way to pray to the scriptures. There's nothing superior. Praying by the scriptures is the number one way to pray. I know some of us, now let me just say something. I believe in manifestation of the Spirit. I hope you get my point. I believe. There are times you pray, you don't even know what you are praying about. I believe those things. There are times you know what you are praying about, you don't know how to pray about them. All true. All of them are true. However, in the midst of all of it, if you have a scripture, there's nothing that's more powerful than the scripture. So just some Christians unconsciously think, if I groan in the spirit, it's more accurate than the scripture. You know what they don't realize? The scripture is not letters. It's a living thing. It talks to the Father. If you say, you take the scripture, you have needs, and you go and kneel down and say, Father, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what you said. You make me lie down in green pastures. Those words I just read out for you now, we turn to a person, the person of Jesus Christ, and start talking that, Lord, send 15,000 naira by tomorrow, 12 o'clock. That is what we need. You saying it, you don't know. All you read is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That single, those two sentences, we get up, become a living being, and make petitions before the Father, saying 2.8 million is the exact figure that needs to come in before Wednesday. Father, send it. Is that what the Bible says? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. What did it say? For the word of God is alive and active. The word alive means alive. Living. It's a living thing. It thinks. It reasons. You know, many of us just think that the most powerful, you know, time to pray. You know, it's an unconscious thing. We just think that's okay. Now, we need money by tomorrow. Let's begin to pray. Now, my problem is not the groaning. It's the irritating confidence we have in it. I use the word irritating. The guy can't leave the place thinking, I've killed it. How do you know? Did you see me bend over? Did Elijah bend like that? Elijah did his own 7 times. How many times was I there? 21. Tell Elijah to come and hear intercessors. Which one did she do that? He didn't. If they now mistakenly get one result out of pity, you know, heavenly pity. So God will now say, all right, fine, fine. You know what I'm going to do there? Let me frustrate He's grown. He will groan until he has sore throat. I say, I'm not answering this guy. Why? His confidence is in his groan. I'm telling you, there's nothing more powerful than the word of God. So when you want to pray, never forget it. Have it. Sometimes you don't have anything to say. Please, go and learn the Psalms. It's a book of prayer. Go and learn the Psalms. It's a book of prayer. Like the one I just gave as an example now. Many ones. Just simple things like, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the protective covering of the Almighty. And you don't even, that word just becomes a person. And you're praying about security in your environment. And the word will now say, Lord, place 3 angels at that gate. Destroy every kidnapper that comes that way. Heavenly Father, place, he knows the names of the angels that you don't know. The word can arrange. Do you get my point? He starts telling her, Father, do this. He said, so Lord, we need 1 legion, not 12. These boys are not that bad. 1 legion of angels. Put them around the streets. Let your son hear testimonies of what they will do to their enemies. All you said is what? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under that shadow, the protective covering of the Almighty. For that reason, we're just going to meditate on scriptures to answer to for our dedication for today. Let's rest our feet to be nice. Remember what the meditation is? You take the word of God and place it on your lips. What is meditation? That's what it is. It's not just in your heart. It must fill your heart till it bubbles up from your mouth. And how does it fill your heart? It's through your mouth also. Read the scriptures. The mouth is very important in spirituality. It's very important. The mouth is very important in spirituality. How you talk, what you say. Normal talking. You are sitting down, you're just ruminating about things. Hey, God will bless us in this land. Thank you. The lines are falling for me in pleasant places. My heritage is good. I will bless the Lord who has dealt bountifully with me. You're just talking. Other people are saying that I wish I was born in Australia. I wish I was born in England. I wish I was born in America. You are saying, of this one it shall be said, this one was born there. Of Zion it shall be said, this one was born there. So when they take a census of the people, God will put a check mark beside these names and will say, this one and that one were born in Zion. Say, Lord, thank you because I'm a citizen of Zion. I can't wish for anything better. The Zion from above. Now, you're just talking normally. You're just talking normally. No, you're just talking normally. You are nobody. You're not fighting with anybody. You're just doing what? Talking normally. Let's go back to where we began from. Psalm 119. Now, you know what we are going to do? This is what we'll all do. We'll read it together. And then, I'll give you a minute. You take each line. And like, it's not just, you know, your heart. It's where? On your lips. So let's take it together. Psalm 119, we read that at the beginning. Now we're going to read it together. 1, 2, let's go. How can, from verse 9, we're reading from verse 9 to that, the end of that section, which is verse 16. Are you there? Now 1, 2, let's go. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. 10, with all my heart I have sought after, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Did you notice that? Do not, see, it's a dedication. Verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Read that again. Blessed are you, O Lord. Remember, we are dedicating ourselves to hearing. And that's what we're talking about. Hearing the word. Hearing God's word is a dedication to the Lord. Please, this is what I want. If God comes to you, what do you want me to do for you? I've told him, Lord, number one thing, there are many things I've asked for. It was Solomon asked for one thing. I have like 5 things. Solomon's one are one thing, Abby. Me, I have like five. Solomon, it's good though. For my one, I like five. One of them will help me to see from above, not from beneath. I preached a message yesterday at our old people's fellowship, his beauty fellowship. Please, you are invited. It's not just for, I mean, do I look, forget my white beard, do I look that old? Our members are typically, they're supposed to be 65 and above to be qualified as a member. But you are allowed to come. All right? If Dinwoke comes here, we'll just find you work to do. It's a powerful fellowship. Our praise leader is a retired plastic surgeon. He's retired. Last time we went for his wife's 70th birthday. He's older than his wife. Yeah, he's the one that leads praise. Plays the keyboard. So you can come, you know. So I was preaching there yesterday. And I talked about from Isaiah 42. Who is blind like my servant? Or deaf like my messenger that I sent? And God was talking about Israel. That they see many things they don't understand. They hear, they can't interpret. I said the job of prophets is to interpret. That the angel will say, son of man, what do you see? Say, I see a rod of an almond tree. Say, good, you have seen well. What does it mean? I am watching over my word to perform it. Do you follow my point? So if God says, what do you want me to do for you? I say, Lord, help me to understand when I see a rod of almond tree. I was teaching the people that, listen, brethren, the power of the church is in the ability to interpret things that are happening on the earth from the spiritual perspective. I explained that COVID happened to the earth. Most churches couldn't tell what was happening. They were lying. Antichrist wants to put chip in your hand. God said, Banky, don't mind them. They are blind. They are deaf. The beautiful thing about being a believer is that you know how to interpret things. I said, go on, let me see how much time we have left. I told you before, if I fall sick today, fall sick next week, after a week, no. I said, God, there must be interpretation. Mind you, is my name malaria? I'm Homo sapiens Christus. Malaria, okay, I don't know the name of the, it's Plasmodium, you know, falciparum, Plasmodium vivax, Plasmodium malaria. Which one of them, Plasmodium ovale, which one of them is Plasmodium banki? So if it's all growing in my liver and in my, I will go and pray. Say, Lord, what are you saying? He can come and say, Banky, last week, all the things you said, when you were not preaching, they were not true. So that's why I was looking for fever to use to close your mouth. You know, people say that the Lord doesn't do that to his children. It's not true. May he do it to you. It's for your own safety. It's for your own safety. We'll read it in a moment. Because if you will use your mouth to run, do you know why Zachariah went dumb? He wanted to spoil divine destiny. Sometimes your own mouth is spoiling to God. Find two angels. Zip his mouth for him. Your mouth, jaw will swear. Your jaw will swear. Because it's too much talk on things that are not right. Verse 12, so that's why I pray to the Lord. He said, what will I do for you? I said, help me to see from above, not from beneath. Verse 12 again. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. 13. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony, as much as in all riches. 15. 16. Your statutes. I shall not forget you. Now, please, you have about 1 minute to go over this to yourself. Remember, it's our dedication. Say, Lord, don't let me wander from your commandments. It's a powerful prayer in that verse 10. Father, do not let me wander from your commandments. Say, Lord, your word I have treasured in my heart. Don't let me sin against you. Let these words restrain me from sinning against you. Lord, this is my prayer. Teach me your statutes. Pray that prayer. Say, Lord, teach me your statutes. Say, Lord, teach me your statutes. Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have told all the, if I like the winning translation, says that I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I enjoy doing it more than making money. Yeah, it's a prayer you need to pray. Prayer of dedication. It's a prayer of dedication. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Because of time, let's hurry a bit. Go to chapter verse 33, the same chapter. Verse 33 in the same chapter. I want to read to verse 40. Hey, by the way, the whole of Psalm 119, you should make your meditation for the whole week on this subject. In fact, Psalm 119, at the point I think it's repeating itself. It's good. That's how meditation is. That's how meditation is. Actually, you know it's a song. You know David wrote this to be a song. And if I ask you to recite all of it, you know you can't recite it, most of you. But if somebody broke it into hymns, you'd be amazed how easy it is to remember everything. Yeah. Those of you who have the gift of the Spirit in that area, write hymns, because each one is 8 verses. Yeah, they are broken like that. That's how David grouped them. The section is not modern Bible. It's how David drops them. They're sections. Each one is a song. Some of you used to play Mandators do this. Mandators used to rap long like this. Yeah. They were not rapping, they were reggae musicians. If this thing, Joe, didn't work, if this thing was made into a song, you in 1 week you will know everything. That's why God invented songs, giving us the ability to repeat the same thing again and again and not get tired. David made this a song so that you will recite it and that prayer will be constantly on our lips. Let's read the next one for time's sake. 33. Again, the will of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. You have another minute. Quickly go over that. 8 verses. You have another minute. Remember, it's a prayer of dedication. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. It's a prayer of dedication. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it till the end. Please, it's not a personal strength matter. It's we are saying this so that the Spirit of God can ride upon your words. So the Spirit of God can ride upon your words and walk in your life. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it till the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Literally, and not to gain. The word is honest there, it's all supplied. Not to gain, that this money is not what I'm asking you for. I'm asking you that I may know your special commandments for my life. Say, turn away my eyes from looking at material things, following other gods. Turn away my eyes from looking at other things, from following other gods. Say, Lord, behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me according to your righteousness. What you are praying is that, Lord, I want to know the specific thing to do. There are general things, but also the specific way to run my life. You have a word for me. Give it to me. Let's quickly read again. We have quite a bit to read and we're going to finish reading them. Let's go to 57. Again, we take that section, 57. 57. 8 verses again. 1, 2, let's go. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. Because of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. Read that again. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. 64. The earth is full of your loving kindness. O Lord, teach me your statutes. Oh, yeah, one more minute. Pray about that. Pray with that. Just read them again. This time around, you are saying it to the Lord. You are my portion. I have promised to keep your words. Remember, it's a dedication. Lord, I seek your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. Let that be my portion. Let me be able to say that with assurance, in truth, that all my life I have hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. Lord, I've considered my ways. How am I doing what I'm doing? And I've turned it to your commandments. That's verse 60. Say, Lord, I'm a companion of those who fear you. It's important. That's how to be blessed. Follow only those who fear the Lord. So the earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Round that off in the next 5-10 seconds. So we can go to another one. Now let's really read 65. We're going to read it to verse 72. But when we do the meditation, you will do it from 65 to 80. Now the lesson here is that, listen to this carefully. The lesson here, which verse did I say just now? 65, yes. Okay, it's the very next one, all right? We'll read together to we'll get to the bottom of that 72, but we're going to meditate to 8, so I'll give you 2 minutes. The lesson here, brethren, is that if something is not going right in your life, pray. Many times, there's a correction you need to make. You don't know. You need to pray so that the Lord will reveal it to you. Please, can I beg you? I passed through it also. I believed that doctrine at the time. Don't believe it anymore, please. Not true. That God never commands difficulty into the life of his children. It's only the devil. It's not true. Sometimes the only way he gets your attention. Ezekiah, after he recovered, he said, it was the Lord that did this, and it was for my good. That's what he said. That one that he was sick unto death, that Isaiah came to him, put your house in order, for you will die and not live. When he recovered, he said, the Lord did this, but you have disciplined me for my good. Time will not let me go into it now. Hezekiah was never fully cured of that problem. You know his problem? Pride. Once God blesses Hezekiah, or those days when he will bless him, that guy used to get so puffed up. God will say, I delivered you now. Say, yes, but I knew how to call. So God said, okay, no problem. Make this guy fall down. That happened. People said that he was quoting his good works for God. Go and read his commentary. He said, God has forgiven me of my sins. And he has healed me. Principle of God, let's not forget it. If you have difficulty, you have adversity, get on your knees. See, it is not every time. There are 3 reasons Christians have problems. What are they? One, trial of faith. Ignorance, number one. I knew that I had one number one that my mother and the Lord made me jump to number two. You know, number one is what? Ignorance. Number two is what? The trial of faith. Number three, the just recompense of reward for disobedience. There are 2 types of disobedience. There's a disobedience in which you don't even know what is right. You see, disobedience, all unrighteousness is what? It's sin. But there's one in which you know and you stubbornly refuse. That's more dangerous. But let's not now sit on the different types. The important thing is that you need to know. The important thing is that what? You need to know. You need to know. People are held in bondage because of lack of that knowledge. How do you get to know? You pray. Let's read that. Where does it should open? 65. Let's read together. 1, 2, let's go. You have dealt well with your servant. Oh Lord. Wait, am I the only one reading here? 1, 2, let's go. You have dealt well with your servant, oh Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Do you have any doubt about it? That is, in the midst of my affliction, what did I come out with? The knowledge of the law of his mouth. That's better than money. It's better than riches. In the midst of my affliction, teach me. Now, please, for time's sake, you are going to start from 65 and you go all the way to 80. All right? This time around 16 verses. However, please jump here and there because you have only 2 minutes. All right? You have 65. Just take it quickly. You know the focus now. Meditate on that. Say, teach me good discernment and knowledge. Lord, I trust your commandments. Just help me to understand it. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But I learned my instructions. Now I keep your word. You are good and you do good. In the affliction, you were good. It manifested in the lessons I learned. Lord, I want to say thank you. Teach me your statutes. It was good for me that I was afflicted. But now, he said that I may learn your statutes. I have come forth with words better than gold and silver. Your words made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. May those who fear me see me, fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. Lord, I know your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you afflicted me. Oh, may your loving kindness comfort me as your word comes to your servant. Thank you, Father. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed. May my heart be blameless in your statutes. May I be blameless in keeping your word. Then I will never be ashamed. Oh, that is prayer. Meditating on those words, that is prayer. Let's do the last one. Verse 89. Again, we are going to read a long one here. But after we read that, we will now stop. We read from 89 to... Wow. It's pretty long, but we'll read it. I beg, let's read it, Joe. Amen. We'll pause once in a while. So we'll not come back to do meditation. We'll just pause once in a while. We are reading the next three segments, 89 to 112. Are we there? Yes. 1, 2, let's go.
Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations.
You establish the earth and it stands. It stands this day according to your ordinances. For all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I will have perished in my affliction. Read that again.
If your law had not been my delight, then I will have perished in my affliction.
93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. Before we continue reading, look at that verse 95. The witches are after me. What am I doing? Firing? Am I firing at them?
No, sir.
I'm telling them to die by fire.
No, sir.
In the midst of their pursuing after me, what do I do?
I diligently consider.
You know why? Because no matter what they plan, the prince of this world can come. But if he has nothing in me, there's nothing he can do. Verse 5, it says, the wicked await me to destroy me. Verse 95, I shall diligently consider your testimony. Let's go on 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. Please, pause. Your enemies can't do anything except you break the commandments of God. Some of our people post things. Precious has been posting, you know. One guy said, how do I stop my father from being afraid of me? Because he has been doing one kind ever since I slapped him. Yeah, one guy posted this on social media. Now, don't ask, I mean, Precious put him, what make me say? Precious said, you're a dead man walking. You're talking about the man should be afraid of you. Instead of it to be rolling, you know, like now, you put broken glass here, you put ashes here, and you put gravel here. You roll from one to the other. I'm back in front of your father and all his brothers and sisters. And say, please walk on me. I have sinned. I deserve to die. You are saying, how can I make my hand? Witches have now, they already put fire. It's time to slice you and spread you out and eat. You are worried about. That's why he said it here. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Because enemies can't do anything except I break the commandments. Let's continue reading. Let's start from that 98. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances. For you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I gain understanding. Therefore I hate every way. 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. O accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. Give the Lord thanks for today. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Forever your word is settled. Thank you. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives me understanding. The unfolding of your word gives me light. Give me understanding according to your word. Say, Lord, thank you. That's what my dedication, no? My dedication that, Lord, I will follow your word in everything, in the general and in the specific. I will follow your word in everything, in the general and the specific. Reveal the things in the specific to me each time. Even when it comes to my food, how I eat, there is something you are saying. That is what I want to be. People of God, listen. What the Holy Spirit is saying, as you obey the general, the specific will become clear. That's it. Please, don't try to hear the Holy Spirit if you are not obeying what is clear. That's the word that you leave us with today. Say, Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. All right, the Lord is good. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in my life. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please greet two people beside you. Bless them. Say, this is your season.
This is your season of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ.
This is your season. The last one for yourself. This is my season.
This is my season of the emotion of the Spirit.
And of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, cheer up, brethren. God bless you.